From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Warner Theater in Washington, D.C., Peter Sagal.
Thanks, Carl. Thanks, everybody. Man, I can already tell this is going to be like the Beatles at Shea Stadium. I can tell. We got a great show for you today. We got John Podesta. He's the former White House Chief of Staff, current counselor to the president. He'll be here to tell us if they really walk and talk in the West Wing. But first, as many of you know, this is Carl Castle's last show with us before becoming our scorekeeper emeritus. We thought about doing an hour-long special of nothing but tributes to Carl, and we could do that, believe me. But we wanted to send Carl out the way he wants, by simply doing a good radio show.
Why start now, Peter?
You'll still be able to win Carl's voice on your voicemail. That won't change. But if you want to talk to the man himself, this is your chance. Call us at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Let's welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Andrew Latham from Manhattan, Kansas.
Hey, how are things in Manhattan, Kansas?
They are beautiful. May is the best time of year around here.
Is tell me the ways in which Manhattan, Kansas is better than any other Manhattan I might think of.
And which other Manhattan might that one be, Peter?
I don't know. Well, welcome to the show, Andrew. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First up, a writer for the Washington Post, Miss Roxanne Roberts.
Hello.
Hey, Roxanne.
Next, a correspondent for CBS Sunday Morning and the host of the Emmy-nominated show My Grandmother's Ravioli, it's Mo Rocca.
Hi, Andrew.
And a comedian performing at the Variety Playhouse in Atlanta, Georgia on July 25th, Paula Poundstone is here with us.
Hey.
Hey, Paula.
You're going to play Who's Carl This Time. Carl Castle right here shall now read you three quotations from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain just two of them, you'll win our prize. Carl Castle's voice on your very own voicemail. Are you ready to play?
Let's do this.
All right, let's go to the top of the news for your first quote.
She attacked Jay-Z? That's the first hit she's had in years.
That was one of the many comments online to the story of who attacking Jay-Z this week.
Was that Beyoncé's sister?
It was Beyoncé's sister, Solange Knowles. So it all happened last week after the Met Gala in New York when Beyoncé, along with Jay-Z, better known as Beyoncé's husband, and Solange Knowles, better known as Beyoncé's sister, and Beyoncé's bodyguard, better known as the world's luckiest bodyguard, got into a hotel elevator and all hell broke loose, if you've seen it, and I'm sure you have, being NPR listeners. All of a sudden, Solange just sort of goes for Jay-Z, hits him with her purse, kicks him. Instantly, this leaked surveillance video became this generation's Zapruder film. What inspired the fight? Did Jay-Z retaliate? How many blows did Solange land with her handbag? Was there a second purse?
What did he know and when did he know it?
Well, did you guys see this tape?
I saw it. I found it so comforting.
What?
Well, it's just so nice to know that people who are incredibly rich, incredibly famous, incredibly everything, have the same kind of family dramas that we all do.
Wait a minute. So this struck you as familiar. Do you attack your sister's husband in elevators?
I don't have a sister, but, you know, I'm not saying I wouldn't under the right circumstances.
I should say that Beyoncé and her husband and sister have put out a statement saying they all love each other, but they have challenges, just like any other family. Meanwhile, the hotel where it all happened has put up signs saying, in case of fire or Beyoncé's relatives kicking Jay-Z, please take the stairs.
By the way, they don't have the same challenges as the rest of us.
You don't think so?
Say it.
First of all, if someone attacks me in an elevator, I'm just going to get the stuffing kicked out of me. I don't have a bodyguard.
Maybe this is a reason to get one.
Right off the bat, that's a difference, I think, in our lives. Yeah. Many of my albums have not sold as well.
Here is your next quote.
Now's your chance to get rid of those awful 90s photos that somehow surfaced.
That was Business Insider talking about a ruling that we have the right for embarrassing pasts to be forgotten where?
On the internet.
Exactly, on the internet is the answer. Very good, yes. A European court in a ruling this week took a big step toward establishing a new human right, the right to be forgotten, that is, to have embarrassing stuff removed from Google and other search results. You could demand, with this right, to have anything deleted, embarrassing photos, a crime report, the video of that time you beat up your sister's husband in an elevator. Somewhere, Anthony Weiner just turned to his wife and said, "You know where I've always wanted to live? Belgium." Basically, I mean, so you can just erase all the embarrassing photos in your youth. A European judge just came up with the cure for college. Think of it this way. It's sort of a morning after pill for the internet.
Justin Bieber is going to be so happy.
Yeah. All right, very good. Your last quote comes from CNN.
"For all the stories about what we can't find, here's a story about something they may have actually found."
That was your world leader in Malaysian Airlines coverage talking about another discovery this week that's been missing since 1492. What was it?
The Santa Maria.
Yes, indeed, the Santa Maria. Every school child knows that the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria were the ships that Columbus sailed on in 1492 across the ocean blue to impose a colonial hegemony on the indigenous peoples. Ooh. The Santa Maria has been lost ever since it ran aground off Haiti right after Columbus discovered it, quote unquote. Now, we knew it had sunk. Nobody knew where. For 500 years, CNN has been reporting on the missing Santa Maria.
I don't understand. So they came over on the three boats.
Yes.
Right. And then
one sank.
One sank on the way?
No, it sank
here?
Very soon after they got there.
Okay, how did it sink near Haiti after they got to here?
Well, by here, I am generally indicating the hemisphere.
Right.
I mean, sort of here, you know, the new world.
Thank goodness you're not steering. They made it to the hemisphere?
Yeah.
I don't see that as a good reason to give them a whole day.
Well, it's actually, the holiday is really named for the capital of Ohio. It has nothing to do with that guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and why would they name the capital of Ohio after a guy who made it to this hemisphere? He was nowhere near Ohio.
Carl, how did Andrew do in our quiz?
Andrew, you had three correct answers, so I'll be doing the message on your voicemail or home answering machine.
Well done.
Right.
Congratulations, Andrew.
Thank you, Peter.
Take care. We want to remind everyone to join us here most weeks back at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago, Illinois. For tickets and more information, go to WBZ.org, and you can find a link at our website, waitwait.npr.org. Right now, panel, time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Mo, for years, observers have wondered if those barefoot shoes with little toes are as dumb as they look. Well, this week, the manufacturers responded to a lawsuit by saying that the shoes are what?
Dumb?
Yes. Vibram Five Fingers, those little rubber shoes are those things you wore to make people hate you before they came along with Google Glass. Vibram had claimed those strange rubber foot gloves strengthen your feet and prevent injury while running, while studies show they do not. And in many cases, they actually increase injuries as onlookers can't help but punch you in the face.
You're supposed to feel like you were barefoot?
Yes, the idea was that you ran barefoot with the added protection of rubber foot gloves.
I don't understand your hostility to the rubber foot glove. I mean, of everything there is to be upset about in the world, the rubber foot glove does not make it to my top 10 list. Why would anybody punch somebody for wearing a rubber foot glove?
I think they're good, and they're also quite sanitary. If anyone who's going to stomp the grapes to make my wine, I want them wearing those foot gloves.
Now, Carl, we know you've been doing voicemails for other people for about 16 years. Well, today, a few friends have left voicemails for Carl Castle. Here's one right now.
Congratulations, Carl. Stephen Colbert here. Just saying what everyone else is thinking. All of us who loved you on NPR, all of us who listened for your voice every week on Wait, Wait, are so, so sad. Gonna go. Best of luck. Send us some limericks or something. Very few things rhyme with Carl, by the way. I tried. The rhyming dictionary goes Carl, gnarl, and snarl. After that, it goes into bullshit like curl and seed pearl. You were dealt a rough hand when it came to a first name, I gotta say, when it comes to rhyming. How ironic. Is that what irony means?
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle. We're playing this week with Roxanne Roberts, Mo Rocca, and Paula Poundstone. And here again is your host at the Warner Theater in Washington, D.C., Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Right now, it is time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Casey Harris. I'm from Denver, Colorado.
Hey, how are things in Denver?
Yep, actually calling from Palo Alto, California, though.
Really?
Yeah.
You're just trying to confuse me. What are you doing? Why are you traveling around?
Oh, she's on the lam.
Yeah. If you're fleeing the authorities, don't say where you're calling from. Casey, we are delighted to have you with us. You're going to play our game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Carl, what is Casey's topic?
I am not a crook.
As every politician knows, getting ahead of a scandal by releasing an official statement denying all charges is the best way to really screw it up. This week, we read a story about a politician trying to avoid a career-ending fiasco by issuing such a strong statement. Guess the true story. You will win Carl's voice on your home voicemail. You ready to play?
Yep.
First, let's hear from Mo Rocca.
Florida Democrat Joe Garcia was caught on video by C-SPAN picking his ear, then putting his finger in his mouth and eating it. I know, gross. To be fair, it was a congressional hearing. And Garcia is known for his earmarks. And let's face it, it would have been a lot worse if he'd been picking his nose. Before his career goes down the Eustachian tubes, Garcia released this statement. I scratched my ear and noticed I had a hangnail. My mom always told me to keep my fingers out of my mouth, and now I know why. End quote. The biggest shocker, the guy picking his ear and eating it wasn't Congressman Henry Waxman.
The congressman denies dining in his own earwax on C-SPAN. Your next story of a political scandal not involving Kerry Washington comes from Roxanne Roberts.
For months, Idaho statesman reporters badgered Democratic congressional candidate Dwayne Peterson about the contents of a storage locker outside of Boise. And for months, the former county prosecutor refused to comment. Guns? Drugs? A body? The rumors got so bad that Peterson finally called a press conference last week when he revealed the locker contained every single episode of the soap opera All My Children. Every hour since the show debuted in 1970 until the final goodbye in 2011, all lovingly preserved on thousands of VHS tapes. What can I say? I fell in love with Pine Valley, he told reporters. Turns out he got hooked during his junior year in high school when he stayed home for 2 months with a bad case of mono. He began taping the show every day and didn't stop for 40 years. Quote, after a brutal day of law school at court, I found Erica Kane and her fake drama very relaxing, Peterson said he thought discussing his secret hobby would be a distraction from his platform of guns, guns, and more guns.
An Idaho politician denies that there's anything more scandalous in his storage locker than the collected episodes of a soap opera. Your last story of a politician in hot water comes from Paula Poundstone.
The journalists at U.S. Congressman Al Boyne's recent press conference were few but lucky. It seems that 2 years of fundraising earned the students at Golden View Middle School in San Bernardino, California, a class trip of a lifetime to Washington, D.C., where they struck it rich by snagging a tour of the nation's capital from their own U.S. Congressman, Al Boyne. I never claimed to know all of the facts about the sites I showed the students, defended Boyne. What I wanted to do was give them a sense of what America is all about. Does it really matter that Martha Washington didn't design the Washington Monument? The important thing is that girls know they can marry a great man and they could build a monument to them if they want. And that the government doesn't have to pay for everything. I have daughters. That's what I want for them. Is it true you told the students that Abraham Lincoln is buried beneath the Lincoln Monument? Asked Max Whalen of the San Bernardino Gazette. Do you know that he isn't? Snap Boyne. The congressman went on to explain that although the students missed an opportunity to observe a session of the Supreme Court because Boyne got them lost, he was proud to get lost in our nation's capital. It just goes to reinforce the fact that I am not a Washington insider. And besides, I told them if the city hadn't been designed by a French guy, we wouldn't be in this mess.
So here are your choices. One of these was a politician issuing a strong defense. Was it from Mo Rocca, a congressman saying, no, he did not, even though it appeared he did, eat his own earwax on C-SPAN? From Roxanne Roberts, a politician saying that all he kept in his storage locker was just every single episode of a 40-year-long run of a soap opera, or from Paula Poundstone, a congressman, defending with pride his ignorance of everything about Washington, D.C. Which of these was the real denial in the news?
I think I'm going to have to go with the congressman picking his ear and eating it, unfortunately.
You think? It's a little distasteful, but you're going to pick that one, as it were.
Yes.
All right.
Picking it, yes.
You're picking that one. Well, we spoke to a journalist who was absolutely on top of this breaking scandal.
Congressman Joe Garcia is seen picking something out of his ear, studying it, and then putting it in his mouth, and it's gross.
That was Rachel Stoltzfus. She's a reporter for The Daily Caller. Congratulations, Casey. You got it right. He was talking about the congressman. We want to say, we've watched this carefully. Carefully, we watch this video, and we feel that he has a case to make that there were two unrelated acts. The picking of the ear and the placing of the finger in the mouth could have been indeed unrelated acts. I think it really depends upon what the meaning of pick is. Nonetheless, you've earned a point from Mo Rocca. You've won our prize. Carl Castle will record the greeting on your voicemail. Well done.
All right.
Thank you so much for playing, Casey.
Thank you.
Hey, I can't help but notice the light on our own answering machine is blinking. Here's another message that was left for Carl.
This is Tom Hanks with a new Complete the Limerick game. Limericks are often a hassle. The punchlines can be rather crassle. We'll all miss the voice, but we have no choice but bid adieu to old Carl. I think it might be Blassle?
Now the game where we ask important people to do something that will never matter at all to anyone. John Podesta has spent more time in the West Wing than that bust of Winston Churchill. He was chief of staff to President Clinton during the impeachment saga. He is now counselor to President Obama. John Podesta, we are amazed you have time to join us here at Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Well, I wanted to pay homage to Carl, and I thought that coming here and being humiliated was a price worth paying for that.
Yes. He secretly thrives on other people's displeasure, so there you are. So John, you are what people who don't like Washington call a creature of Washington. You've been here for a long time, right?
Yeah, I grew up in Chicago, but I've been here for a long time.
And what brought you to town back when?
Political campaigns.
Really? Which ones?
I was working for George McGovern in 1972.
So you worked for George McGovern, and you came and you worked on his campaign. That was the one where you lost 49 states, right?
Correct.
And you said to yourself, this is awesome. I want to keep doing this. Maybe someday I could lose all 50.
We tried that with Mondale, but it didn't work.
Now, you, as I understand the story, you rose up through the ranks and you became President Clinton's chief of staff. You lucked out because you got to have that position just about the time the Monica Lewinsky scandal broke and all the fun that we had.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think I was the first chief of staff whose president was impeached and the first one whose president was acquitted.
There you are.
There you go.
So how was that?
You know, that was, that's when I took up running.
or I'm sure as you called it at the time, fleeing. What was it like working for President Clinton as his chief? Because President Clinton famously is up at all hours of the night calling. And
yeah, that was a problem for me.
Really? Well, give me an example. What do you mean?
Well, I'm a kind of early to bed, early to rise guy.
Yeah.
And the president had this unnerving habit of, he stayed up all night and he'd turn on C-SPAN and he'd call me and I'd be half asleep and he'd be bitching about whatever some senator was saying on the floor of the Senate because he was watching C-SPAN reruns and telling me, you got to tell him that the better argument is...
So 3 a.m., you're in bed.
Yeah.
Home with your family. Your phone rings. Like,
yeah.
The president's online for you.
Yeah.
And you're like...
And I'm half asleep. My wife would just elbow me and say, you know, the president of the United States is on the line. You should wake up.
And you wake up and you say, yes, sir, what is the emergency? And he says, I'm watching C-SPAN and I'm annoyed.
Yes. Yeah.
And it was something on book notes.
Yeah. I want you to call Brian Lamb tomorrow and give him a talking to.
Yeah.
And were you ever, I'm going to grant you sleep deprivation, did you ever tempted to say to the president, it's 3 o'clock in the damn morning? You never did that?
No. Yeah. Only in the Oval Office. Would I yell at the president?
Did you yell at the president? When you yelled at the president, did you have to call him Mr. President?
Yes.
Like, you're an idiot and you're a fool and you're a moron. You know what you're talking about. Mr. President.
Mr. President. This is C-SPAN 3.
There it's not are, even sir, the White House has definite, you know, protocols.
Right.
And so you always call him Mr. President. I call President Obama Mr. President.
Do you really?
Absolutely.
I have a question. Because Washington, particularly in government, the idea is that it's 24/7 and that you never get any break and people are sleep deprived for decades.
That's why we make such good decisions.
Do you still use a BlackBerry?
I do.
Are you ever allowed to go someplace where you really didn't have, you know, like,
yeah.
Really, you're allowed? Like, that's not against the rules?
It's totally against the
okay.
rules.
Okay.
Do you
have to be prepared to break the rules once in a while.
Do you ever text with the president?
Not really.
But you email back and forth. Does he ever use emoticons? Like frowny face if he's upset at you because maybe you were out of cell range?
He's extremely good at letting people know when he's upset with them.
Well, we should.
Oh, so he uses emoji.
Doesn't
then.
Really need.
We should clarify that now we're talking about the current president, President Obama. You work for him in a different capacity. You're his counselor. You're counselor to the president.
Yeah.
So
that's a better job.
Right. So
because that means I have no responsibility and I just get to counsel.
Does that mean that you help him choose his classes for next year?
I was thinking that you're always at Camp David.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you want to be a counselor at Camp David?
Well, I hadn't thought about that, but that's a good one. I'm going to work on that.
Well, John Podesta, it is a delight to talk to you. We have asked you here to play a game we're calling...
Hello, this is Carl's Castle.
In honor of our judge and scorekeeper... We're going to ask you 3 questions about a Carl who isn't a castle, but has one. King Carl the 16th Gustav of Sweden. We're going to ask you 3 questions about this other less interesting Carl, and if you answer 2 or 3 correct, you'll win a prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice, of course. Carl Castle, who is John Podesta playing for?
He's playing for Dustin Oakley of Washington, D.C.
There you go. Here we go. First question. King Carl acceded to the throne in 1973. Shortly thereafter, he married the former Sylvia Summerlath. She has a notable role in Swedish history. What is it? A, you know that song, Dancing Queen by ABBA? That's her. B, she became the first European royal in all of European history to be married wearing a pantsuit. Or C, she's the first member of the famous Swedish bikini team to rise to the monarchy.
Well, I'm almost certain that I've seen her in a pantsuit.
All right. Wait a minute. You're saying you've met the Queen of Sweden?
No, no, in photos.
Photos. You just sit at home looking through your photos of
the Queen of Sweden.
To staff European royalty.
I was dragging for a clue here.
I understand. So here's it.
Let's be logical about this. This is a royal wedding.
Right.
Pantsuit?
Okay, A.
You're going to go for A, that she was the dancing queen in the song by ABBA?
Yeah.
That's right, she was.
All right.
Because we remember that ABBA is Swedish, and they wrote and performed that song for the first time at the royal wedding. Now, King Carl, not an exciting guy, but he endured a scandal a few years ago when it was revealed that King Carl had what? A, never much liked creamed herring. B, often got drunk at parties and said he wished he was king of Norway. Or C, attended jacuzzi sex parties at a club owned by a Serbian gangster underneath police headquarters.
Well, I know it's not C.
What?
Oh. I think I'm going with the A.
You're going to go that he got a scandal where he said, I just don't like creamed herring, the national dish of Sweden. No, actually, it was C.
Yes.
Yes.
Not so mild-mannered. Book came out a couple years ago called The Reluctant King, which laid all this out. All right, you still have one more chance here. King Carl, once this scandal broke, answered the charges in a typically Swedish way. He decided to address the controversy how? A, by simply staring into the distance and shrugging once in a while. B, by giving a press conference in a forest clearing during an elk hunt. Or C, by offering to assemble everyone's IKEA furniture for them. Typical, the traditional Swedish gesture of apology.
Don't say C.
Not going with C.
Not going to go with C.
I think they have elk in Sweden.
They have plenty of elk in
Sweden. So I'm going with B.
You're right. That's what he did.
All right!
In the wake of these revelations about his youthful hijinks, King Carl invited the press to this field in the forest, showed up in his wax jacket, whatever that is, and said, quote, "We choose to turn the page and move forward because, as I understand, these are things that happened a long time ago." Carl, how did John Podesta do in our quiz?
He's the winner, Peter. John had two correct answers.
Well done. John Podesta is counselor to the President of the United States. John Podesta, thank you so much.
Thank you, Peter, for being with us here on Motley Fair.
Thank you so much. We also happen to get another voicemail from Carl. This from a young lady. Let me check the name. Oh, it's Katie Couric.
Wait, don't tell me. Carl Castle is retiring? Carl, just think, if you hadn't hired me as your intern at WAVA All News Radio after my first year at the University of Virginia, I don't think I'd be standing here in this studio. Thank you for giving a then-college student with big dreams her start. And thank you for being such a good person. I only hope by the time I retire, I'll be able to say I conducted my professional life with as much kindness, grace, humor, and integrity as you have. Thank you again for everything. Good luck, Carl.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle. We're playing this week with Paula Poundstone, Mo Rocca, and Roxanne Roberts. And here again is your host at the Warner Theater in Washington, D.C., Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. In just a minute, Carl eats his Rima beans in our Listener Limerick Challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some questions for you from the week's news. Roxanne, we learned this week that the most popular song in China is Kenny G's 1989 smooth jazz hit, Going Home. When a Chinese person plays Kenny G's 1989 smooth jazz hit Going Home for you, you know that that Chinese person wants you to do what?
Introduce you to their parents.
That's a very specific meaning. No, I'll give you a hint. It's right there in the title.
They want to go home.
They don't want to go home.
They want you to go home.
Exactly right. They want you to leave. All over China, businesses everywhere play Kenny G's song Going Home to indicate the day is done and they would like you to leave now. It may seem strange, but if you wanted people to go away, what musician would you play?
So if you're on a date with a Chinese person and she puts on Going Home, you know this isn't happening.
Right, exactly. Paula, inspectors from the CDC and other agencies have determined that a recent outbreak of salmonella all over the country may have been caused by what?
Can you give me a hint?
Come here, Foghorn Leghorn, and give me some sugar.
Oh no!
Yes.
Oh, ugh.
My Aunt Irene. My great Aunt Irene. She used to chew snuff. She'd say, "Paul, come here, give me some sugar."
And what did she want you to do?
Hold her spit can.
When your aunt said, come and give me some sugar, what was she asking for?
Kissing chickens?
Kissing chickens, Paula.
Oh, yes, yes.
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 Chickens kissing each other?
No.
People kissing chickens.
Look, it is okay if you're one of these new urban chicken owners. It's okay to read your chicken a bedtime story, maybe give it a back rub, but the CDC says quit taking your chicken down to Tongue Town because... Chicken kissing. Do chickens even have tongues?
They have wattles.
Oh, no. They have lips.
Yeah.
They have beaks.
Chicken kissing may be the cause of a recent salmonella outbreak in 23 states. One doctor said, quote, don't kiss the bird. You can show your affection in other ways, which makes us all start thinking about things that are even grosser than kissing a chicken.
Just hand-holding, I think, is enough.
Yeah. Paula, you know, a wedding these days is an enormous production.
Yes.
Well, now it seems there's yet another step brides are going to be going through. Many brides are now getting what prior to their wedding?
Waxed.
No, that's old. We've been there. Well, one hint that maybe you should do this as a bride is that when your husband-to-be, as an engagement present, gives you engagement mittens.
Gives you engagement mittens?
Yes.
Cook hot things. Mo is making a snowball gesture.
I think he's pitching. If you need...
Mo is making a snowball. Why are you making a snowball gesture?
You use mittens to make snowballs.
Yeah.
So that's very true.
Before you get married, you must pelt your intended with snowballs. Is that correct, Mo?
I just want to win this game.
Yeah, I can see that. So
no,
you're purposely steering me towards the wrong hemisphere.
Right.
Damn you, Columbus. They give you... So you have to what? Have your hands done?
Yes! You have to go and get what they're calling a hand lift. You see?
What the heck's a hand lift?
Well, this is it. Before you go and take a little picture for Instagram of your engagement ring, make sure you take a look at the hand that's wearing it, ladies. Is it bony and thin? Does your ring hang off it like a toe tag off a cadaver? Well, time for a hand lift. A plastic surgeon in Manhattan, of course, reports a 40% increase in women coming in to get injections of something called Juvederm that plumps up and smooths out the hands. So they're nice and plump, and your ring looks good on it. A cheaper alternative, contract a case of gout. Or just hit your hand with a hammer and wait 20 minutes.
And remember, it's called a hand lift. A hand lift. Don't confuse it with the other hand service.
So what it is, it's... Just to be clear, ladies, you're going to go get a nose job and a hand lift. Just making it clear.
What is the matter with people?
I knew you'd have something to say about this.
It's just so stupid. It's just so us. One time I was on an airplane, and the guy beside me, normally I sleep on the airplane, but there was a guy beside me reading a book called Soft Skin Augmentation. And I was afraid to doze off.
Hold your hand. I want to hold your hand.
It's lightning, fill in the blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Or click the Contact Us link on our website, waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows back at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago, Illinois, and our upcoming show at Red Rocks Amphitheater in Colorado, July 10th. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, Peter. This is Corinne from La Crosse, Wisconsin.
Hey, La Crosse. I've been to La Crosse, home of the world's largest six-pack. Is it still there? Yeah.
Is Carl there?
Well, hold on. Let me check. Oh, yes. Carl's right here.
Right here.
I adore you, Carl Castle.
Oh. I love you.
No, I'm not breathing.
Well, Corinne, welcome to the show, Carl Castle. The man himself is going to read you three news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly, and two of the limericks will be a big winner. Here is your first limerick.
Feeding rye grains to pigs isn't risky. At worst, they'll feel giddy and frisky. Our final intent is porcine ferment and pig meat that's flavored like...
whiskey?
Whiskey, yes! Great news for alcoholics on the Atkins diet. Templeton Rye Distillery in Iowa is attempting to raise the world's first whiskey-flavored pigs. This sounds crazy, but it was actually the pig's idea. No, seriously, another shot will make me taste great. Here is your next limerick.
At the apex, I live life most fully. Made a wedgie machine with a pulley. Hand out nuggies and swirlies. Call names worse than girly. It's wonderful being a...
a bully.
A bully, yes! A new study from the National Academy of Sciences reveals that being a bully during childhood correlates to a lifetime of happiness, success, and vibrant health. It's true. All those atomic wedgies do wonders for upper arm strength, and stealing lunches mean bullies get all their food groups.
How did they conduct such a study?
I think they were bullied into those results.
No, but I mean, how do you, that's ridiculous.
It's such a longitudinal study. You follow people over their lives, and people who exhibited certain kinds of behavior they correlate to having healthier, longer, happier lives.
Wait a minute. So how did they find the bullies to begin with?
I believe they probably quizzed them on their behavior.
Uh-huh. So, like, when you get sent to the office in elementary school, you have to go talk to the people doing the study.
They're hanging out there.
You're going to call your parents, and these people are going to follow you for the rest of your life.
All right. Here is your last limerick.
There ought to be men's fashion courts to handle revealing reports. Our inseam now cinches to less than 5 inches. That's too much thigh shown by men's...
shorts.
Shorts, yes. The Wall Street Journal, the daily diary of American pants, broke the story this week that men's shorts are getting shorter.
It's very interesting. And this isn't funny, but it's true. The study shows that if you have like a really bad midsection, like a belly, you should wear shorter shorts to basically distract from that. Like, if your belly is just hanging out all over, you should wear, like, tiny little shorts.
No, you should.
Carl, how did Corinne do in our quiz?
Corinne, you had 3 correct answers, so I'll be doing the message on your voicemail or home answering machine.
Well done. Thanks, Corinne, and congratulations.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Now on to our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as he or she can. Carl Castle, can you give us the scores?
Paula Poundstone has the lead with 4 points. Mo Rocca has 3. Roxanne Roberts has 2.
All right. Roxanne, that's unusual for you to be in third place. The clock will start when I begin your first question. Fill in the blank. On Thursday, President Obama spoke at the dedication ceremony for the National Blank Memorial Museum at Ground Zero.
The 9/11 Memorial.
Yes. On Thursday, the FCC voted to formally propose new net neutrality rules that would allow companies to provide a fast lane on the blank.
On the internet.
Yes. Football player Michael Sam made news when he celebrated being drafted in the NFL by blanking.
By kissing his boyfriend.
Indeed he did. On Thursday, Vladimir Putin said that in June, Russia will stop delivering gas to blank unless it pays cash in advance.
I think the Ukraine.
Indeed. Florida police are looking for the owner of a blank they found in the woods.
A pink flamingo.
No, they're looking for the owner of a coffin containing a crossbow, nunchucks, mace, double-sided axe, punching bag, a sword, a baseball bat with numerous screws attached, a sickle, and 38 other medieval weapons.
Oh. I don't remember being in Florida.
Two boys were injured when the blank they were playing in unexpectedly went airborne.
Those inflatable bouncy houses.
Bouncy houses, yeah, bouncy castle.
Crazy?
In an unexpected change, Jill Abramson was ousted Wednesday from her position as the executive editor of the blank.
New York Times.
Right after a video of the incident surfaced on YouTube, a man is being criticized for answering his cell phone during blank.
During the birth of his child.
No, he answered his cell phone during his own exorcism. The pastor was in the process of casting out the demon when the possessed man's cell phone started to ring.
It was the devil calling.
Exactly.
Listen, I can make you a great offer. Let's stay together.
Carl, how did Roxanne do?
Roxanne had 6 correct answers for 12 more points. She now has 14 points, and Rox has taken the lead.
All right. Mo Rocca, you're up next. Fill in the blank. Carl Rove was criticized this week for suggesting Hillary Clinton might have blank.
Dementia?
Yeah, or brain damage. A protest about worker safety was held after this week's mining disaster in blank.
Turkey.
Yes, California Governor Jerry Brown declared a state of emergency as blanks threatened the San Diego area.
Wildfires.
Right, with this week's recall of 2.5 million cars and trucks, automaker blank has now recalled over 11 million vehicles in 2014.
General Motors.
Yes, in what could be a case of long-awaited revenge, Ozzy Osbourne was denied permission to renovate his barn because it is blank.
Historic land?
No, because it is home to thousands of bats.
Oh.
See? After he was reported missing earlier in the week, radio personality Blank was found safe in Washington State.
Casey Kasem.
Yes, to protest low wages, Blank workers around the country went on strike Thursday.
Docents.
No.
I love docents.
No, fast food workers.
Oh, fast food.
A British man was refused his plea for blank rather than having to pay a moving violation fine.
He was denied permission for having a car.
No. Instead of paying his moving violation, he demanded trial by combat.
Yeah.
Leon Humphreys was faced with a $42 fine or thereabouts. And asked if instead of paying the fine, he could just fight the DMV clerk to the death with either, quote, samurai swords, Gurkha knives, or heavy hammers, unquote. His request was denied, with the DMV in Britain explaining, oh, sorry, the trial by combat line is over there. Carl, how did Mo do in our quiz?
Mo had 6 correct answers for 12 more points. He now has 14 points and the lead.
So, here we go. How many does Paula need to win?
5 to tie, 6 to win outright.
All right, Paula, this is for the game. Fill in the blank. After being closed to repair earthquake damage in 2011, this week the blank officially reopened.
The Washington Monument.
Right. In an interview with Anderson Cooper, Los Angeles Clippers owner blank said he was not a racist.
Sterling.
Right, Donald Sterling. After a tight primary race, the North Carolina congressional candidate running against American Idol winner blank died unexpectedly.
Clay Aiken.
Right. This week, Idaho joined Arkansas to become the latest states to strike down bans prohibiting blank.
Same-sex marriage.
Right. In order to cut down on waste, a buffet restaurant in Switzerland is charging customers for blanking.
Not finishing their food.
Not finishing their food. Exactly right. On Friday, newswoman and co-host of The View blank retired from on-air work.
Barbara Walters.
Right. Surveillance footage showed a boy being rescued from a dog attack by a blank.
Cat.
Right. The travel booking site Skyscanner recently released their list of unusual traveler complaints, including one from a man who demanded a discount from a hotel because blank.
It was in Manhattan, Kansas.
No. This man demanded a discount from the hotel because his girlfriend was snoring. Other all-too-real complaints tracked by this company: a guest who complained his dog did not enjoy the vacation, a guest who was angry that his waiter was too handsome, and a man who complained the ocean was too blue. Carl, I think Paula did well. Did she do well enough to win?
She did very well, Peter. She had 6 correct answers for 12 more points, and that means she has 16 points, and Paula Poundstone is this week's champion.
Well done, Paula. Ladies and gentlemen, it was a huge thrill when I first heard Carl Castle say my name. Growing up listening to him do the news, I always thought that to hear that voice say my name, I would have to do something really astonishingly stupid. Turns out all I had to do was to have the amazing good fortune to be his partner. I just want to say thank you to my friend who has been and always will be the heart, soul, and of course the voice of this radio show. I notice another call came in to our answering machine here. This one I can't help but notice has a Washington, D.C. area code.
Hi, everybody. This is Bo from Washington, D.C. Carl, for 30 years on Morning Edition, yours was the voice America woke up to. You brought us the news of everything from presidential elections to the fall of the Berlin Wall. We trusted you to tell us what happened and why it mattered. And then for some reason you joined a show where Peter Siegel makes you read goofy limericks and imitate everybody from Britney Spears to Barack Obama. It turns out they all sound like Carl Castle. Anyway, we're glad you did. Over the years, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me has become an institution in my hometown of Chicago and across the country. And Carl, you've been its heart and soul. I will never forget my time on the show. A lot of people didn't know my name, but you guys were already making fun of it. So, Carl, congratulations on an incredible career and a well-deserved retirement. We will miss you, but it's good to know you won't be giving up everything. Who knows, maybe in a few years you'll get a call from another contestant, Barack from Chicago. And if I win, I'm glad you will still be here.
And Carl, just this one time, would you do the honors?
This is NPR.